Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoff Nation podcast show. Oh. Podcast show.
And I think we're live.
Well, this has a different feel to it.
Wow. So I got some Woodford Reserve.
Yeah.
When did I call you? Friday? I called you like 30 times last week.
Yeah. You called me 3 times in 2 days.
I did.
It was like a record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I called my mother 3 times in December.
Yeah. Wow. So. Well, you should feel special. But I called you because I was at Black Bear Wine and Spirits down in Mountain City. And it was like...
Is it haunted?
No, it's not. No. No.
Oh, they have spirits.
Spirits is... it means like... you know...
Oh, like drinks. Oh,
liquor and stuff. Okay. Yeah. So I was down there. It was like 11. It was like 11 a.m. and I called you
because
I was picking out some bourbon. Because I don't know much about bourbon. I've drank bourbon for years, you know. And for years I just drank Maker's Mark, but I would mix it with stuff. Okay. And then in college I drank a little bit of Jameson, and I know a lot about beer. And then a little about Scotch. I got really into Glenlivet 12 year for a while. But recently, like, I've been really enjoying just bourbon, just neat, straight up bourbon.
Yeah, there's so many different. I can't even keep up with the amount of new distilleries there are. These craft bourbons. I got a buddy of mine who's selling his bourbon collection. He's got, like, you know, he's selling all these bottles for $300, and I don't even know what they are. I've never heard of them before. When I'm buying bourbon, there's two shelves I'm looking at, and they're the bottom one and the one right above that.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not a fancy guy, you know.
Yeah. I'm fancier than you.
Fancy to me is Elijah Craig. If I'm really splurging, Woodford, and that's like top notch. That's good back deck drinking.
Yeah.
You know, so this not in this weather. This weather's too cold for that.
Oh yeah. Too cold for bourbon?
Well, for sitting out back.
Oh yeah. But it's good. It's good for cold weather when you're inside, of course, because it just burns going down, you know.
Oh, and yeah. I mean, it'll keep you warm if you are sitting out. I'm just not a big back deck guy in the winter because I don't want to wear like mittens, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I like a summer Friday night or a fall Friday night.
Right.
A little radio playing.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you miss John D. Howard's carport sometimes?
Oh, man, that was a good time.
Yeah.
That was a good spot. Good spot. Sometimes you just need that good spot where you and the boys can pull up the tailgate chairs, plop down in a circle.
I'm going to have a spot like that soon.
Chew the fat, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
I am.
That's exciting.
Yeah. It's crazy. Had a crazy few days, man. We're moving back to Georgia.
That's great.
Yeah. So you and the boys will have to come up. Sometime.
Yeah, we will. And I'll have to have you down to my new house. I got to have you guys here. Holidays are a hard time to do it, but we're going to have a thing in January or so. We'll have to have you guys come on down.
Oh, yeah.
You moved in and hang out here. You can come back to Georgia. We can go to Waffle House without a mask on and eat.
Wow. Wow.
You know?
Yeah. And now that I know that I'm moving like from Boone, I don't care anymore. Because you know, even though, like, I think my microfiber neck gaiter doesn't really do much, because it doesn't, I've been wearing it, you know, because of my job, you know, around here. But now that I know I'm moving, I just walked around Ingles today and definitely got some looks. And then I picked up Brinley for her doctor's woman today. She had like her little like 18 month thingy-majigger, or maybe it was 19 months. I don't even know how old she is. And so I take her to the doctor's appointment, and then I took her to Wendy's for lunch because it's one of the only places you can go inside here in our communist town. And so we order and the booths and the tables were like every other was blocked off because of COVID, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all the booths and the tables were occupied, but there were several like high tops available, but I couldn't pull, a high chair up to the high top. I could only pull a high chair up to the booths or the tables. Right. So because I don't care anymore, I walked up to the booth in between these COVID safe booths where people were. And I moved the police. Hey, oh, that's Mallory and and Little Man. Yeah. So I moved the like can't sit here, you know, sign. I moved it and I pulled the high chair up, and me and Brindley sat down, and these people looked at us like, you know, like we had just, you know, murdered a puppy. But the interesting thing was there's a lot of things you learn through all this psychologically about people, you know, because, oh my God, Mallory, I'm having the only time I ever have a conversation, she is like trolling you.
She's sticking a baby's butt in my face
and her boob. Her boob and a baby are in the can. That's all I see. I see Mallory's boob and
just a bare. People at home can't see this. It was a bare tit.
It wasn't a bare tit.
Just flopping around in there. No respect.
So we sit down.
Yeah.
And this older couple, the gentleman, you know, gives me this mass shaming look like I had just, you know, ran over a puppy, you know. But it was interesting because, like, they could see that I was looking around for a place to sit with Brindley, and they could see clearly there's unoccupied high top availability. So if they cared, they would have, you know, offered to move to a high top and we could have taken their booth, you know, to be COVID safe.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that, you know, no. So they just, they looked
at me like, they don't actually care about other people.
They don't. They don't care about
other people. They actually don't care about their own health or they wouldn't be eating lunch at Wendy's. So.
Exactly.
You know, it is what it is. You know, I went to the gas station the other day and the lady in front of me with the mask on was buying two packs of cool cigarettes.
Hmm.
I don't know. You pick and choose whatever makes you feel better. It's fine. At this point, I realize the police at Kroger are not going to jump out of the cereal aisle and arrest me for not having a mask on. I don't care. And if people ask why don't I have a mask on, I just tell them, I don't care about you. That's why. You're a stranger to me, and whether you live or die does not affect me.
Over the weekend, I was at my brother's house Sunday. I drove down like for a crazy, insane one-nighter because we found this house. We wanted to move on quick. And so I drove down for Boone Sunday, and Sunday night, I was at Ben's house and we were watching, we just had some local TV on and Ben was cooking dinner and all these, like all the Kelly Loeffler ads are like all on y'all's local feeds, like yeah. On TV and also on the radio. And there was this commercial that came on and to piggyback on what you just said, the commercial was like, Kelly Loeffler sold her stocks once COVID happened, you know, dun, dun, dun. And yeah. Like the implication was she doesn't care about other people. She cares about herself first, you know? And I was like, so do I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, so she was savvy enough.
I sat on my stocks and I got poorer because how does that help anybody? If she sat on her stocks and just got poorer because I wanted to help other people. So I just made less money.
Yeah.
But I let my portfolio vanquish.
Man.
Okay. Why'd you do that, idiot? You know, I mean, the implication is because you don't care, but they had knowledge. And so they did something about it. Every time I hear about like insider trading, I think I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That's what you do with information.
And
you use it and go, okay, thanks. I'll take advantage of that.
And granted, I don't know the legalities of it because I've heard that there's a case there could be a criminal case against what she did. I don't know. I don't know the details. I just know that the way they pitched it on this commercial, they didn't even mention insider trading. This particular commercial was just like Kelly Loeffler sold her stocks once COVID happened. I was like,
yeah,
that's kind of hot. Right. I mean, that's attractive. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, my biggest
gripe
with Kelly,
she doesn't have lips.
No, I'm not really.
You know,
her husband literally owns the New York Stock Exchange, so I don't. That's true. Like, literally owns the company that owns the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, so of course she has like some insight. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I don't pretend that like Kelly Loeffler is somebody that would understand me and like my problems. Like, she may pretend to be like, you know, one of us, but she's not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I get that. Like, and my biggest gripe with her is she owns the Atlanta Dream, which is a WNBA team.
They can't
and
dunk.
I just, right. I mean, I look.
All they
my
have
kids
is
play
layups.
Upward Church League basketball. If I want to see a bounce pass, I can go to their game on Saturday morning. You know, I need to. The NBA, I'm fine with. I'm fine with the NBA when the Hawks are competitive. WNBA, there's no need for this to exist.
It's sad. Yeah. So some Democrat on Twitter today was like, because I was pointing out just the silliness of that particular ad, and this Democrat was like, you know, the point is, you know, she was using her elected, how did he put it? Or she, I don't know if it was a he or she. She's using her elected power for her personal gain. I was like, so she's a politician.
Oh, she's the politician that's using her office for financial gain. Okay.
Apparently,
glad you pointed her
apparently
out.
Only Democrats use their offices for personal gain.
Yes.
According
Bernie
to Twitter.
Bernie Sanders has four homes. Three of them are filled with Croatian immigrants. Most people don't know that. He uses them as a sanctuary house.
Oh, and then the other, there's a radio ad. And this was even better, dude. So Monday I was driving from Dallas to Rock Mart. Monday I got on the radio, and the entire ad was Kelly Loeffler spoke at Raphael Warnock's church of January of this year. Da, da, da. And when she was there, and they played audio, there, she said that there was good people here.
And that she'd like to be welcome back. She even said she'd like to come back.
Yeah. And at the end, it was like, Kelly Loeffler cannot be trusted. I was like, y'all are insulting our intelligence, you know, but I guess Democrats are kind of dumb. So they would hear that and, you know, be like, oh, she's the worst. But like anybody with a frontal lobe hears that. And it's like, okay, so she spoke at his church.
Well, okay. And you know, it's not really Raphael Warnock's church. The church is more famous for employing someone of a lot more renown.
Yes, I've heard of this.
A guy named Martin Luther the King. So it's not really his church. If anybody gets invited to speak at Martin Luther King's church, that's a pretty big deal. And I don't know anybody that would turn that down. What's he supposed to do? Like,
right. Here's the thing: it's so bad because they're both probably decent people. I don't know. Like I've seen videos of him. I would rather have a beer with him than
him.
Kelly Loeffler.
Yeah, definitely. I like Warnock a lot. Like his commercial he has where he's walking his dog.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the ads. I thought that was hilarious. I was like, that's a funny ad. That's great. Yeah. I was like, I love that.
And there's another one where he talks about
some outrageous things that no doubt we're probably taking out of context because that's what political ads do.
Yeah.
You find tape of your opponent saying something and you go, ooh, we can use that 3-second snippet and make it sound like he's a crazy person. Mm-hmm. Everybody does this. That's if you take a political campaigning class in college, you go over this kind of stuff. That's what it is. We only have ourselves to blame. We are such a ADHD type society. We have no attention span. We're not going to go on the candidates' websites and read their platforms. All we're going to go off of is little sound bites and what we think. And so this is the type of political campaigning that we deserve because this is who we are as a people. The politicians know that. They know that they're not going to get elected based on 19 bullet points of their platform. They're going to get elected based on a catchphrase. Or based on catching their opponent saying something silly and just driving that into the ground.
Into the ground.
And
day, every day, for 4 years. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And that's there, how
there's,
political
there's
campaigning
good people on
is
both
these
sides,
days.
Because, you know, like, you know, Trump said, you know, they're sending their rapist over. Totally out of context.
Right.
Yeah. people are really dumb, man.
I think Warnock's a good dude, man. He comes from a military family.
No, I do too. Yeah.
Pastor. I feel like there
was
like
one, there was one ad where he talks about his granddad, and the ad was it yeah. seemed like it was in response to apparently Kelly Loeffler had one of her ads probably painted a picture of Raphael hating America or something, or hating the troops. And so this
right.
so this
he
ad was
said
like
in a
okay.
Yeah. He said in a sermon, I believe it was a sermon, I think he was talking at his church, that you cannot serve both God and the military, which is absolutely true. Mm-hmm. That I hate to break it to Republican-only Christians out there, but that's absolutely true. You cannot worship both the United States and the flag and the military and Jesus.
Yeah,
those two things are, you know, that is, they are mutually exclusive.
True.
And he's absolutely right in that. But when you put that in the context of a political ad and you narrow it down to just that sentence, you're going to get a lot of people saying, oh, he hates the military. It's not what he's saying.
Right,
oh.
right. Yeah.
You know, so he even brought up the fact that his father served in the military. He came from a military family, you know. I don't think he hates the military.
No,
I don't think he hates police. Either. I mean, it's, but that's the, you got to narrow it down to the
you
bullet
do.
The headlines. You know, what yeah. grabs headlines?
Yeah.
You know, and the headline mm. is Warnock hates police. Warnock hates the military. I think either of those things are true.
But
what we get these days.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like they create, I think in a way, the left has sort of created this monster. And I kind of don't feel, so I see all the disingenuous attacks on Warnock, of which I really do think are disingenuous. I think he's probably a good person. But then I don't feel bad though, because that whole party, man, this whole, you know, all they do is scream, you know, defund the police. They're so hypocritical. And mm-hmm. then, and so when they cry about stuff, even if it's valid, I'm like, that's what y'all get, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I think defund the police is also a fringe thing that Republicans have highlighted a lot to make it seem like everybody that says I'm a Democrat is throwing a brick through a courthouse window.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not the reality. It's not. But that is a fringe factor that during the election season made it was highlighted and painted to make it look like if you vote for Biden, you want to defund the police.
Right,
which
right.
It's not, you know.
There's a good... The best little blurb that kind of encapsulated what I'm trying to say, the best thing I've seen, and I don't even like this guy. He's kind of cringeworthy, actually. But like 3 weeks ago, Bill Maher did this.
He's a
creep. He did this little – and Joe Rogan, who also doesn't like Bill Maher, Joe Rogan actually retweeted it because Bill Maher basically – who's super far left, but – Bill Maher went on this little, it was like a little 5 minute rant about, you know, why people voted for Trump. You know, it's because you have lost, you know, you, the left, have lost all your common sense. You know, you're just, you're hypocritical. You know, defund the police, silence is violence, you know, all these ridiculous things, you know. So, yeah, that's, he was trying to just kind of explain why so many people voted. For Trump. I don't know. Anyways, but it was good to be back in Georgia. Yeah. I'll be a couple hours from you, I guess, because... Yeah.
Yeah, you're about, like, it's about 2 hours. So,
right.
Something like that.
Right.
Not far.
But you know what puts all this into context, too, though? Like, reading the New Testament for me has put... Like, when you read the Gospels and you read the early church and you read, like, people's reactions to Jesus, and then you see crazy videos of whatever, like the mob or, like, you know, whatever, like Antifa, you know, you'll see, like, a skinny white kid cussing out a cop, you know, but the cop's black, you know, or something. And then you read John and you read how people just reacted to Jesus. You're like, oh, you know what? People have always been kind of crazy. Like, the mob's just been kind of crazy. Just illogical.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know of a probably most mobs, other than, like, you know, organized crime, are pretty crazy, pretty loony, you know. You're right in that that's the same. I don't know, people forget that, or maybe don't know that Jesus was killed by religious people.
Yeah,
Jesus was killed by the church elders of his day. It was not, you know, people that you would say during that time were, you know, these weren't, it wasn't a terrorist group. It wasn't some radical overthrow. Jesus was not the establishment. Jesus threatened the establishment. And that's why they said this guy needs to be put down.
Yeah.
40 years ago, John Lennon was shot, and his son still today thinks that the government did it because they thought that John Lennon was too dangerous. I don't know.
But does he really think that?
Yeah, apparently.
I didn't know he thought that.
It's weird, right?
I didn't know.
Like John Lennon says, overthrow the government, and people are just going to do it. Like, I don't know. Maybe. I wasn't around for that. I don't know. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, no, I mean, I see the comparison because there's always going to be a crazy sector, whether that's on the right, on the left, wherever you are, you know, there are leftists that throw bricks through courthouse windows and say defund the police and tip over cop cars.
It is fringe. Granted, it is fringe for sure.
Fringe, yeah. I mean, then there's, you know, fringe right wingers that join the Klan and bomb abortion clinics.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, either one is, in my opinion, the right way to live.
Yeah.
It's just me. I just go on to get along, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. You should listen to Jason Whitlock took over Glenn Beck's podcast like 2 weeks ago. Did you listen to that at all?
No, I have. I've seen Jason when he.
Do you like Jason Whitlock?
Yeah, he used to work for ESPN.
Yeah, that's right.
Back in the day, yeah. Believe it or not, like, he would be a guest host on like Pardon the Interruption and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jason. I've seen him when Tucker Carlson will have him on as a guest oftentimes.
Oh, okay.
I do think that sometimes he feels like
he's got a brand a little bit.
He has to, like he has to write the, okay, I'm black, so here's the column you think I would not write. Mm-hmm. Like he has to go against mm-hmm. the, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like he has to be mm-hmm. that voice speaking out against mm-hmm. like, you know.
Dude, everything. Dude, I listen to maybe the best podcast I've listened to. Podcast episode I've listened to ever over the weekend, or I guess yesterday, Monday, driving back from Georgia. So there's a podcast called Theology in the Raw by this guy named Preston Sprinkle, who is like a theologian kind of guy out in Cali, Christian guy. His kind of niche sort of is he talks about like the gender stuff and the weird, like, you know, just the gay stuff within the church. And he just speaks to that in a really cool way. Cause there's a lot, there's like,
you should call it there's gay stuff. That's a much better name.
there's a lot of gay people that are Christians that are afraid to talk about it, but he talks about it in a very cool intelligent way. Well, he had this guy on there. Where was I going with this? What did you just say?
Gay stuff?
No, before that.
Oh, Jason Whitlock feeling like he always has to write.
Column. Yeah. So Preston had this guy on about critical theory, about critical race theory, right? And I listened to it with the expectation going into it, thinking that, oh, this is a Christian like theology podcast. He's going to have this kind of Jason Whitlock kind of guy on there, and they're going to basically just, you know, talk about how insanely stupid critical race theory was, right? Because that's what I think. I think it's a bunch of total BS and everything. But he had this guy on there who's a Christian. I forget his name, man. Who got like his undergrad at a Christian university, got his master's of divinity at another kind of prominent Christian deal, and then wanted to just kind of go off the reservation a little bit and get a PhD in American cultural studies from a secular deal at Bowling Green. So he comes out of it though with a really interesting perspective. Honestly, some of the stuff that I don't think about, it just as a white guy from the South, it's always like mad and shouting down at the left and everything, about, you know, what he learned and everything. And he said the best book he's read about it was honestly like Malcolm X's autobiography, which I'm going to get, you know, it just kind of puts things into perspective and it allows you to have a little more empathy to those people, because my side, and I say my side, like kind of the right side of stuff right now, you know, is nothing but like, it's so me and the stuff that I listen to so much is like, even though I think it's correct, you know? Mm-hmm. It makes you so mad and hateful at the other side that you totally forget how to like act like a Christian. You know what I mean? You're so mad.
Right.
And all you do is you try to dunk on people politically and you just get pissed off. And it's like, and this guy kind of speaks to that in a really, just really cool way. And just reminded me to stop sucking so much and be mad because he's, you know what I mean?
If you're going to stop dunking on people, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Gotta like rebrand myself, man.
Wow. That's like Shaquille O'Neal stopping dunking on people. Man, mm-hmm. That's going to be hard.
He brought up. What's the black guy that in Georgia that was running and he got killed and I mean it was before George
Floyd. Ahmaud Arbery.
That guy. Yeah. Now I've got some opinions about that and I've seen the video and I think I know maybe what happened and I've got some opinions, but he brought that up and he said when that happened, he said the immediate reaction he had from so many of his Christian friends. Immediate reaction was to send him like a Candace Owens video, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean?
Here's why you're wrong.
Yeah, and that was like totally me. That was totally me, you know. And he just said whether that viewpoint was right or wrong, the correct immediate response really in that situation is empathy. Like if you're a Christian and you see that video and you're first reaction is to like prove it or disprove it, like you just mm-hmm. need to check yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Like it should be, your heart should sink when you see that, you know, no matter who you are, no matter what your politics are. And dude, this episode just slapped me in the face because I am that way so much, you know?
You know, I heard a sermon one time and I remember it. Golly, this was like, I was helping at a youth group about 10 years ago and the youth director there was talking about John 3:16,
mm-hmm.
which is like the most, obviously like the most famous verse, like in the Bible. Like I have to tell you what it says. Like everybody knows, if you're listening, you know what it says.
Right.
But he said, insert, you know, where it says the world, insert your name here, you know? Mm-hmm. So God so loved Josh Brown, you know, blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
That he gave his son so that Josh Brown could have eternal life. Okay. Now erase your name and write Osama bin Laden, right?
Wow.
Adolf Hitler, right? The worst people you can think of, and it's still true. And I was like, "Whoa!" Wow. Like that's a ballsy statement to make. But the point is that whether you're like, "Oh, I got to disprove that," or "I got to prove this to be right," when you see something like that,
right?
That child is God's child. Same with the crazy people flying planes into buildings. You know, man. Who you think of as that's our greatest enemy in the world. The fact remains the same. And that's why that's the same reason that that outlandish statement, which I imagine in some churches, if you said that kind of stuff, people would gasp and be like, what do you mean? God doesn't love bin Laden.
Right.
Well, no. I mean, the Bible says he does. But that same truth is why the church elders that we were talking about murdered Jesus. Because they couldn't wrap their hands around it. This has to be fit. There's no way this could be real.
Mm.
The things he's saying are so outlandish and so against, you know, what the norms are of the day. That you know, if your brand of Christian love seems too much like, you know, white Republican American love, then it's probably not correct. You know, it has to be radical. It has to be a little out there. It has to be crazy. Like, you have to be the type to say, my impulse is to be angry at this
mm-hmm.
with when you see things on the news that make you upset.
Totally me.
And your impulse might be, I hate those leftists. Maybe your impulse is, I hate those right-wingers.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to fight that impulse and say, you know what? We're going to have empathy in this situation. I'm going to learn more about these kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd suggest everybody go out and buy a book that you wouldn't otherwise get, whether that's the Malcolm X autobiography or maybe it's mm-hmm. you know, Tucker Carlson's book or something like that. But find a viewpoint that is a complete 180 from where you stand and read and learn a little bit. And maybe, you know, it'll change, soften your heart a little towards other people, you know, because I think one thing we've learned in 2020 is it's we are a very us against them culture. There's a red team and there's a blue team.
Oh yeah.
And like it's we're lining up for the game.
And then there's little teams within those
subcultures. And the world hinges on this election, yeah. And the fate of America is at stake, and we have to fight. I was reading an article about Eric Metaxas. Do you know who Eric Metaxas is?
Nuh-uh.
He wrote a great autobiography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was killed for protecting Jews in Germany. He's a martyr. I've got his book called Miracles. A friend of mine is actually mentioned in the book. And it's, you know, just a book on modern miracles. And he was a theologian, modern day theologian, who now has his own radio show and is basically at all Trump. Trump's going to win this election because God is on his side. And Joe Biden is the devil incarnate. And basically, he's just a complete Republican flag bearer, you know.
Yeah.
Where he's completely lost the path that he was on and veered somehow from the Great Commission to, you know, promoting Republicanism at all costs.
Wow.
And I was like, man, that's kind of a sad story, you know, like, and I usually vote Republican, but right. I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, when you're dead and gone, whether or not you were a great card-toting, flag-waving Republican, it don't really matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It ain't really gonna... And so I was like, man, it kind of sucks that a guy that bright and that smart has lost the plot so bad that even his old friends are like, we don't even know this guy anymore.
Dang.
You know?
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, that's what getting caught up in the culture wars will do to you. You feel like you have to fight for, you know, the culture.
Yeah, you feel like it.
We're the good guys and they're the bad guys.
And you get,
you know,
you get so embedded in your foxhole. You get
right.
You get so much of your own skin in the game that you can't. You build a brand, a personal brand. You're so far down in that foxhole that you can't you know, disagree with, you know, that side even a little bit. There's no more nuance. There's just so, and you just get mad. Yeah, you have no ability to think critically anymore. You know.
Yeah, and you know, you got to be able to think critically. I'm gonna, you know, when Donald Trump won the election, Dave Chappelle was on Saturday Night Live, and he said, you know, I'm gonna give him a chance. And I remember Ernie Johnson, Johnson, who is his dad is Braves royalty, NBA and TNT. After Trump won, he said, I'm gonna pray for Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Ernie's great, man. Ernie is the best. Like, yeah, Ernie's one of those guys. You read his book, and you go, I wish I could be Ernie Johnson.
Oh yeah, it was. Almost,
I wish I could be.
It's kind of like when I listen to Dave Ramsey. I almost don't like to listen to Dave Ramsey because he's so perfect, you know, with faith and God and like family and money. I'm like, I can't take it.
Ernie,
and that's
kind of
Ernie Johnson for me.
Like,
it's like,
man,
you're so
good. I wish I could be Ernie Johnson.
So good.
But he said, look, I'm going to pray for my country. I'm going to pray for the present. And that's what we're going to be. And everybody was looking at Ernie because, you know, he's the white guy on the, you know, that's why they're looking at Ernie because, well, we got a good idea of where the black guys on the stand sit. And Ernie said, look, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's 4 years later, it's a little same thing. I'm going to pray for Joe Biden. I'm going to hope the best for him. And I'm going to give him a chance. And, you know, hey, because when the president wins, America wins.
Is Not the Home of Nation secretly your favorite podcast? Well, put your money where your mouth is and support your favorite replacement level podcast on Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can support your favorite dinguses as they continue to bring you worthless information each and every week, providing you the escape you need. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. That's patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
Here's what I see in the kind of the Christian culture that I'm now kind of newly sort of a part of. I, you know, you hear almost like a very kind of quick, lazy excuse or explanation for just how to fix everything, like how to fix race, not all the racial tensions and all that, just all the that's kind of the at the forefront, it seems. The racial stuff, and it's all like they just need the gospel, which is true. I do believe that. And if you read Ephesians 2, if you read Acts, if you read the beginning of the church, you do realize that the gospel really does kind of answer like racism, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that shouldn't be your immediate, just quick answer sometimes to non-believers because they don't they don't understand that yet. So, it, you know, this guy on this podcast really talked about that and talked about how your default really needs to be empathy, just most of the time to people, just empathy. And because, dude, I forget, because when you really think about it, like, to me, like, I always think, like, my default, you know, kind of setting is like, I just want to write off the, you know, when I ever hear like systematic racism, I just want to write it off. I just want to make fun of it. I just want to just say there's no, it doesn't happen, right, and just like dismiss it. And in a lot of cases, I think that it's not that I don't think I think I'm correct in a lot of ways, but when you step back, you're like, you know what though? Like we were segregated up until pretty recently. I mean, when you see when you see an old white guy, like in the South, like he might, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like he might have been in, you know, a certain way, you know, not too long. And an old black guy, I mean, that guy grew up where he couldn't, you know, and to us it's normal. And I think on the other extreme, you see a lot of people say that nothing has changed, and that's a bunch of malarkey too. It's totally progressed. We've come a long ways. I mean, it's pretty good, but you have to be empathetic to the fact that that man, a lot of bad stuff happened up until like not too long ago, you know.
Oh sure, I mean, the University of Georgia didn't have their first black players until 1971.
That's crazy.
My dad was 9 years old. Like, my son today is he's 5, and he could probably name you like 10 players. And so my dad was 9 years old before a black guy played at Georgia. That's crazy. That was not that long ago. No, you know what I mean? Like, that's 14 years before I was born. Like, that's nothing. Like, so it really isn't that far away when you think of like segregation and people our parents' age. You know, like we think segregation like this long. Wow, it's so long ago. Mm-hmm. Well, our parents were alive for it. Our parents were a part of it. Like, they, you know, things were different in their age than they are today.
Yeah, there needs to be empathy on both sides, but only one side in general has the potential to do that, just because I think when you have Christ, you have a better understanding of empathy, perhaps. But yeah, it's weird. But check out that podcast. So it's called
I will. Theology I've and heard the that Raw. Guy's name somewhere. It's I remember really, hearing that guy's name
it's
before.
It's really good. It's if you're like a if you grew up in a certain brand of the church, and you know, it's going to rub you the wrong way, maybe a little bit. But I love it. I've got a transgender friend who is a Christian, goes to North Point, and so I think it's cool that there's something out there that kind of is talking about this stuff, because nobody in the church talks about this stuff ever, and when they do, it's cringeworthy. It's weird.
Well, you know, if it's rubbing you the wrong way, it's probably a good thing.
Oh, I get it.
Usually. No, I mean, you know.
Right. Is that the baseballism cap that you got?
Yeah, I got the Beast from the Sandlot.
That's cool. Speaking of baseballism, that made me think of John D. Howard, because that's all he wears is baseballism. And that made me think of who is going to be hopefully his future bride, Hannah. Our newest patron, we have to give her a shout out, because she signed up for a year. Like, she ponied up and signed up for a year. So, we appreciate that. We really do.
Yeah, that's very cool. God bless her. Yeah, I mean, look, this year's been tough on everybody, usually tough financially. So for anybody to give money to us is like ridiculous.
Crazy.
Like, I don't even know what to say, because
I almost cried. See
what we do being that special, but apparently people like it, and that's cool. So yeah, Hannah, thank you very much. I we should send her a card.
I think they just feel sorry for us, you know. I think that's some of it. Yeah, we should send her. I think we're supposed to send her. I think that's part of the thing when you we're supposed to send them stuff. We'll get on it, Hannah. don't get pulled over in Aragon if you're listening right now. Hey, you wanna do a draft? We haven't done a draft in forever.
Yeah. Are like you wearing an Eagles shirt?
I am wearing an Eagles Fall Tour 2010 shirt.
Wow.
Yeah. I love it.
I don't like the Eagles.
Yeah, you told me that. People, it's weird.
Yeah, people think that's weird.
That is weird, man.
Everybody's got that one. Everybody's got like that one band that everybody collectively agrees is great, but for whatever reason,
yeah,
they just don't do it for you. You know.
Here's why that's like, weird to me, because you. So typically, the kind of person that doesn't like the Eagles is the kind of person that likes, you know, weird indie films and weird French music, you know, and some obscure jazz. And so to them, the Eagles are just basic. But I'm talking to the guy whose favorite movie is Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. Wait a second. There's a lot of people whose favorite movie is Home Alone.
Yeah, a lot of like, you know, 9-year-olds in 1995.
No.
Their favorite movie was probably Home Alone. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was me. And it still is today. I saw it five times in the theaters.
You did not.
It's been my favorite movie. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
You did not.
Absolutely. I had my mom take me, my dad take me, my grandma's take me. Anybody.
Did all of them know that the other one took you, or did you play them?
I'm not sure. I think back then movie tickets were like $1.50. Yeah. So it wasn't that big a deal to go to the movies that often. It was like, all right, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like if I had to stay at my grandma's on Saturday night because mom had like a work function, then I was like, can we go see Home Alone? And I'd pull up the paper and be like, hey, it's playing at 7:30. You know, it's only $2 a ticket. And I was like, it's the fourth time I've seen it. But, you know. It's good. It's a good movie.
I went to the movies a lot, like in high school, and even in college. But like as a kid, we didn't go a lot. As a kid, my mom went through a really weird phase where she got kind of crazy, like legalistic, like didn't let us watch stuff ever. It was a short phase, but she took us to go see Wayne's World, and I was probably, I don't know, 10, so Benjamin was,
yeah,
you know, 8. I don't know. And
that's a bold choice for youngsters.
Yeah. And I remember, like, they said a cuss word and we walked out. She took us by the wrist and we walked out. And I was so embarrassed. And then either that year or the year after, I think it might have been that year, I had some friends over for my birthday party. Okay. And they wanted to watch Ninja Turtles. Like the
first
movie.
One?
I think it was the first one. And my mom,
it's a little dark. First one's a little dark.
My mom wouldn't let me watch it with my friends who were over. They brought the movie with them or something, and it was just so embarrassing. Yeah, but she snapped out of it. She's kind of cool now.
Yeah, my grandma gave me a copy of Beavis and Butthead Do America for Christmas when I was like 12.
Oh. Oh wow.
Yeah, 12 or 11. Yeah, so I've never been in one of those families where everything's, you know. I was pretty much everything was a go.
And I was the oldest. So for me, like I always got the worst treatment. And then Ben, he's only 2.5 years younger. So I get policed pretty hard. But then Ben gets to high school and his favorite artist was like Kid Rock. He was obsessed with Kid Rock. And Kid Rock was pretty raunchy.
Very raunchy.
And Mama would get Ben like Kid Rock CDs for his birthday and Christmas and stuff. And I'm like, there's no way you would have let me listen to this, you know? And she's like, it's his favorite artist. I don't know what to tell you. So, whatever.
Hmm.
The babies always get the best treatment. So, if y'all are listening, y'all know what I'm talking about. The oldest, we get the shaft. We really do. You want to play you want to do a draft? We haven't done a draft in...
Yeah.
Ages. Okay. We haven't done a draft in ages. I think our listeners like it when we do drafts. We've done all kinds of drafts. Sports drafts, music drafts, other types of drafts, but we're gonna do a draft. Top 3 country music videos of the 90s. Okay, I'm gonna kinda make it broad. I don't wanna do like any kind of like weird classifications of that, but just like top 3 favorite. For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Top 3 favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes they're good, and then there's also ones that are so bad that they're good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no justification for this, you know,
because
some of the best ones are technically terrible.
Absolutely terrible, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to let you go first.
Man, this one, because I just loved it. When I was a kid, I remember before, it was second grade, and there was a local public broadcasting show that would show country music videos in the morning before school.
Okay.
And I remember running to the bathroom to grab my mom, and she's like putting hair curlers in.
Okay.
To make her come look at it, because it finally came on. And I was like, this is it. This is it, Mom. And that was Billy Ray Cyrus's Achy Breaky Heart. And it was just because, in my mind, that was what a country music singer looked like. You know, tight jeans, firm buttocks, like bodacious mullet. Just gorgeous. And the video is just him like getting out of a limo and going to a show and playing on stage. And if you had told me in 1992 that years later I'd have my own, you know, 6-year-old, and we'd be listening to Billy Ray Cyrus singing a song called Old Town Road in my truck, and that's like their favorite song, I wouldn't have believed it. Like, because when I told them that, I was like, I loved this guy when I was your age. And they're like, no, you didn't. They're like, no, that's not true. This is rap music, Dad. It wasn't around when you were a kid.
Oh, man.
I love that song.
Every time I hear that song, I think of, and I guess it was because it was playing when this happened. You ever hear a song and you think of a moment or a...
Remember where you were?
Yeah. Like when I hear, there's an old George Strait song that there's like a Spanish word in the chorus or something.
Oh, Easy Come, Easy Go.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
There you go.
I always think of my dad taking me and my brother camping in the Smokies because that was the song on the radio. When I hear Any Man I'm Buying by Shania Twain, yep. I think of me and my dad driving across Lake Pontchartrain because we drove out to New Orleans and beyond once when that song was on the radio. Back to It Can Break Your Heart. When I hear that song, I think of the blizzard of 93.
Yep. I remember that same blizzard.
Yeah. I just remember the blizzard. And so I guess that song was going on during that time.
That song seemed... There were two songs at the time. There was Achy Breaky Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Tag Team's Whoop There It Is. And I think those two songs during grade school were the most popular songs for like 2 straight years. I don't know what the actual like Billboard charts said because we didn't pay attention to that. But like... Those two were the coolest songs ever. You know, that was it. Honorable mentions to Alan Jackson's Chattahoochee and MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit, because those were right.
All right. My number one is Memphis Queen by Confederate Railroad. That's my favorite.
It's so bad.
So check it out on the YouTubes. Confederate Railroad's Mississippi Queen. Now their big hit was Trashy Women.
Yeah.
Okay. This was almost as big. And then their third like kind of fringe hit was Daddy Never Was the Cadillac Kind. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was a banger. Now this one, Jerry Glanville has a cameo in the beginning.
Cameo, yeah. Jerry Glanville, people don't know that are younger or listen to this, how big of a deal Jerry Glanville was in the early 90s in Georgia.
Oh, they don't even know. I don't know.
Like
his royalty.
This guy was coaching football games in Wranglers and ostrich boots. You know, he called plays offensively and defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Falcons came out with the all-black, the Georgia Dome, Andre Rison, Deion Sanders, he had the swaggiest, coolest team in the NFL.
Man.
Where they were not necessarily good.
We were at that record.
There was nothing cooler.
Yeah. We were at that record shop with John at the Battery. Yeah. And we should have got – wasn't there like a Jerry Glanville card or something?
It was like a dollar. Card, yeah, a Jerry Glanville card. I should have bought
it. Yeah. It was so cool.
I'm sure I could mail it to him and autograph it. He seems like that kind of dude.
Yeah.
Okay, my second, I'm going to go 1A to that, which I think is the second worst video ever.
Okay.
And that's by a band called Alabama. cheap seats.
Oh, that was my number two.
Was it?
That was my number two.
They should have a disclaimer.
I could have a whole podcast about that video.
A disclaimer that says no actual baseball players were used in this video. Because you can clearly tell. You can clearly tell. Just watch it for the baseball action. Yeah. You can clearly tell that none of those guys were actual baseball players.
Dude, yeah,
it's horrible.
It's bad. But
and the worst infield management ever. The dirt in that infield.
Also, goodness. Another cinematic error, aside from just the mechanics, the line in the song... the line in the chorus about double A, we don't, you know, we don't know
Lisa's,
their name.
At least it's triple A. Yeah,
but at least it's triple A. Yeah.
Least, yeah.
The team in the video was the Chattanooga Lookouts, which was double A.
Double A. But that changes a lot, doesn't
no.
it?
No.
Doesn't that change?
No, I've done research on this. I have done research on this. The Chattanooga Lookouts have been double A since like 1884 or something crazy like that.
Well, they may have used their jerseys and maybe their stadium for the video, but
they did.
I cannot believe those are actual Chattanooga Lookouts
but you,
players.
Yeah, I mean, the song though, like that keeps me up at night still. They should have found a triple A team to do the video. It's not like they didn't exist in the area, but.
The Rome Braves? Weren't they triple A?
No. No, Rome.
Triple A?
No, Rome.
Gwinnett was triple A.
Yeah, but not back then. Triple A Braves back then were
Richmond. Richmond,
yeah.
It was Richmond. You know, it's a dumb video too because they're like, we don't even know the pitcher's name. You go to all these games. How do you not know the pitcher's name? It's not that hard.
Yeah, yeah.
To know the name of the guy pitching.
I would understand if it was like, I mean, there's so like in Rome when I used to go to minor league games a lot in Rome. You didn't really know the pitcher's name because he was like foreign. It was like hard to pronounce sometimes.
Yeah, but they give you a there's a
but they give you a program.
It's not that hard.
But we like our
and I don't agree with the beer flat. The beer flat as can be.
Flat as
I mean,
can be.
That's not too much to expect. Like
we like our dogs with mustard fizz. And relish. I love that part.
Me too, because ketchup on a hot dog is ridiculous.
I mean, not really. I like ketchup, mustard, and relish. Or.
Straight I slaw. Have mustard and give me some diced onions. I'm good. Mm. And if you have some good chili, I'll throw that on there. I'm not a big relish guy.
I like chili and mustard
and onions. I'm fine with. Yeah. Mustard and onions. I'm fine. Usually, most ballparks don't have like a good chili sitting there at the condiment aisle, which is understandable. But yeah, mustard and onions. I'm good.
Man, you took my number two.
I'm sorry.
All right, my number two. Okay. Now I don't know if this is like. A good video or not. It just, it's the one I think of when I'm a kid. I just liked it. Boogie Woogie Choo Choo Train by the Tractors.
That song is so terrible.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. So bad.
That was my jam though. That was my jam for a while. Yeah.
I mean, it's a catchy song. Like you say, it's not even on my Spotify or whatever. But I know exactly what song you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not even on my Spotify. Like I made a pretty, me and Ken both made a pretty strong 90s country Spotify list, but that wasn't even on mine. Yeah.
It's one of the, like, if you wanted to give out like your, what is your typical, like sum up 90s country in one song.
In one song?
Like, that may be a choice. Like that may be it.
Oh, man.
Like it's stupid and it's corny. But for what people enjoyed this. Like,
yeah, it wouldn't be that. Maybe it wouldn't be Boogie Woogie Choo Choo Train.
But I mean, that's the kind of stuff that people liked.
Yeah,
you know, like people knock bro country now for being songs about sitting on tailgates and drinking beer and drinking more beer and songs about drinking beer. That's basically all it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the nonsensical stuff we had in the 90s.
Mm.
My baby likes to rock it like a Boogie Woogie Choo Choo Train. What in the world is that?
I don't even know. I still don't even really know, you know, but
I have no idea.
I love it.
No idea. It's crazy.
It's your turn, I think.
Okay. Best music video, like, 90s country. This
number three.
This kept me up at night, man. This enthralled me and I wanted to know more and it inspired me to learn more about country music because it creeped me out. It was like watching an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. And that was Alan Jackson's Midnight in Montgomery.
Yeah.
And the ghost of Hank Williams in the video. What? That's crazy.
That's a good one.
He goes to visit Hank's grave, and Hank's there, and he's like, it's nice to know you care. And
that's the second best song written about Hank Sr. First one, in my opinion, was
Ride.
The Ride. Yeah, yeah. The Ride.
Yeah, David Unko. Yeah. Can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong with that. That's awful good. Can't go wrong with that one. But yeah, I saw that video, and there's like a little ghost silhouette in the back of the bus, you know, as he's pulling away, and you know, oh man, I was like, what is this? Like, this is creepy. I love this. And I was like, I didn't, you know, I'm seven. I'm like, who's Hank Williams? And like, ask my mom, like, what is that? Like, who's Hank? What does this mean? And I was like, is there a ghost?
I gotta watch it again.
Oh, it's good. You have to pull it up on the Google machine. Google is great. One thing like YouTube is outstanding for is videos of people falling down, but also music videos. You can find any music video from your childhood on YouTube in 5 seconds. Outstanding.
Oh, yeah. YouTube, man. Dude.
Yeah. Could waste a whole night just watching. Mom would be like, it's 3 a.m. What are you doing? I'd be like, oh, I'm watching music videos from my childhood.
All right. I feel like my third one's, I mean, it's more sentimental. So it's probably kind of weak to most people, but. And there's nothing special about it, but I love it. I love it because it makes me feel like home. It makes me feel like I want to go back to Georgia. And after work one day, I want to drive my pawpaw truck to a bar by myself, have a beer, you know, like a solo beer.
Yeah.
You ever have like a solo beer that no one knows about?
I highly recommend. This may sound like I'm trying to justify my weird ways.
Right.
Highly recommend every now and then driving and seeing us. Bar on the side of the road and stop in and have a Bud Light
by yourself,
and you'll be amazed at like how relaxing that is and how the people you meet, the stories you might hear. I'm not saying go in and like, you know, rack up an $80 sure. tab and then stumble out. I'm saying walk in, have yourself a beer, maybe two, and enjoy yourself.
Absolutely,
slow it down a little.
Mm-hmm. So for me, so the video that kind of embodies that for me is "Too Cold for Home" by Mark Chestnut.
Oh, man.
He's
Mark Chestnut, highly underrated 90s country guy.
Low-key.
Mark Chestnut.
Low-key voice. Low-key.
Yeah.
Amazing voice. Yeah.
Do you think what held him back more than anything was that he just wasn't very good looking?
Yep, 100%. Me and Nikki were talking about that. Me and Nikki were, we went on like a Mark Chestnut YouTube binge one night on the smart TV. And we're sitting there and she's like, his voice is incredible. But he's short. Right. He's a short kind of, he's not like attractive kind of guy, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I've always thought that those guys, especially in the 90s when music videos were a big thing, like you had to have a video
on CMT
right.
or GAC.
Nowadays, you can get away with it, but back then you had to have one. Guys like him and guys like Joe Diffie, if Joe Diffie wasn't 280 pounds, like with a big old mullet, like he's, you know, if Joe Diffie looked like Tim McGraw, he would have been Tim McGraw for Tim McGraw.
Dude, 100%.
You know, and Mark Chestnut the same way. If Mark Chestnut had George Strait's looks, mm-hmm. Mark Chestnut would be a much bigger deal.
Oh,
a lot of guys like that.
Mm-hmm. And they're still doing their thing. That's the funny thing, too. People don't...
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, Joe Diffie's not.
Well, yeah. But, like, all those guys... Well, except for, like, COVID. It was last Christmas. I think it was Christmas. Me and Nikki were driving to Georgia. And we stopped at a QT. And we were listening to some 90s country. We're just jamming out to some 90s country. And we park and Clay Walker. It was a Clay Walker song. We were talking about Clay Walker. Yeah. And Nikki said, I wonder what he's doing now. I'm like, he's still doing his thing. She's like, what? I'm like,
coming to a state fair near you, baby.
I'm like, yeah, they all are. She's like, no way. I'm like, yeah, they didn't just go away. They, when you age out of your, you know, sex appeal, you know, your Nashville like sex appeal, like the, you know, Nashville kicks you to the curb, but you don't stop making music. So they're
right.
Like at the time, like I was like, babe, just Google. I think I told her to Google like Terry Clark, and she Googles Terry Clark, like tour dates all winter. You know, I'm like, they're
slammed.
All of them. They're still playing.
I took the wife to go see Tracy Lawrence last year.
Oh yeah.
The place was packed out, man. Like he put on a great show, and it was packed out. It was great, man. Mm-hmm. People were like, everybody sang along to Texas Tornado and. You know, all sorts of good stuff, man. He closed with Paint Me a Birmingham. It was awesome.
Mm.
And his weird, whiny, nasally voice that he has. It's a very strange.
I saw him at the Rogue Tavern in Birmingham in like 2011. And sounded like an angel.
Oh, he's got a great voice.
Yeah.
He's got a great voice.
And I saw Clay Walker around the same time. Sounded great. But he gets up there. He had just put out some new album. It's like 2011. He puts out a new album. Nobody cares, Clay. Nobody cares.
He did the new album.
He did the new album. And then, check this.
Yeah.
He does a medley, a 5-minute medley of his hits. A medley. So like bits and pieces. I'm like, dude, I was so mad. I was so mad.
And then tells you my new album's for sale in the back at the merch. Nobody cares. $25.
Nobody cares.
You're not buying a $25 CD. What's wrong with you?
Man.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I know, it's sad. That's all. Tracy just did like 2 or 3 songs from his new album and then went right into like Time Marches On. And
I like those guys. They understand that, you know, like me and Nikki saw Kentucky Headhunters in like 2014 at the Coosa Valley Fair. No, the Chattooga. Catoosa? It was in Somerville. It wasn't Coosa Valley because that's in Rome. Chattooga County Fair? Hannah would know. Anyways, dude, they played they played Dumas Walker, you know, they played all that stuff, you know, because they knew that why we were there, you know. I appreciated
that. This is why you're here. Yeah. No. It's always hit or miss, you know, when you go to a concert. You might hear. That's why you go see old guys, they might play their new stuff, and you're just like, you know, no one wants
Nobody
this.
Cares, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been real. And
it's been real.
Huh. Well, we'll have to get together sometime soon.
Well, mi casa es su casa, as they say in Mexico.
All right, then. Check out patreon.com/ Knockomination if you'd like to support the show. We appreciate all the support. We really do. It allows us to keep doing this. So thank you. Hit us up on Twitter if you have anything you want us to ever like discuss, talk about, questions, whatever, you know. We love that kind of stuff. So we appreciate all y'all. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/ Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.